She's a tall woman in a long skirt that touches the top of her simple black shoes. She wears a short, tailored jacket and a blouse with a Victorian high collar and a wide belt with a distinctive ornamental belt buckle. And, oh yes, she wears a black bow in her hair, right on top. Her stance is formal, as if to indicate that she is a professional. And she is. Lucy Hobbs graduated from the Ohio College of Dental Surgery in 1866, making her the first woman to graduate from a dental college in the country, and some reports say in the world. Lucy Hobbs made history, and it is Dr. Hobbs who welcomes us to a fascinating display of history in the field of dentistry. She is a full-size cardboard figure in a space that might be similar to the office where she practiced over her career. It's very appropriate that a pioneer like Lucy Hobbs has been chosen as a representative by Benko Dental Supply for their dental museum collection. The items on display not only tell the story of the growth and development of dentistry in the country, but of the social history of our region. Benko has been pioneering in many ways since its founding, as we'll hear. We're about to meet Lawrence Cohen, chairman and chief customer advocate of Benko Dental, who will introduce us to Dr. Hobbs and take us on a tour of the museum at Benko Dental Supply in Pittston. You've often heard that name over the past year because it is Benko that has welcomed WVIA to their corporate headquarters while the Public Media Center has undergone extensive renovations. As we prepare to return to WVIA's home just down the road, we want to share with you something of the spirit of this place where we've been so fortunate to have been housed. Lawrence, he's known as Larry, Larry Cohen, sets the tone for this family-owned, national-in-scope business, and he was pleased to take us on a walk through the museum.
This is a European cabinet that was never seen in the United States. My son bought it because he thought it was interesting. It's one of the few dental cabinets that has electricity inside. None of the American-made ones ever came out with electricity. This was very big in Europe.
What did the electricity allow them to do?
Oh, well, it allowed all these things that we hook up with units. You could have a syringe, you could have a light, you could have different things you could attach to that you can't attach to these American-made cabinets. And it was just a different way of doing dentistry. All these electrical stuff, this is European. They never sold one in this country.
Even though it's got some intriguing dials behind those two shutters, it looks like a piece of furniture that was crafted with embellishments, with ornaments, not like something for a professional office. Now tell us about this lady who's in front of that cabinet.
This is the first female dentist, and we got her name. We patented her. Her name is Lucy Hobbs. And we have a Lucy Hobbs Day and a Lucy Hobbs event only for lady dentists.
1833.
Yeah, she was the first American woman to earn a degree in doctor surgery. So she belongs to us now.
The sign says she attended the Ohio College of Dentistry.
So that's right. All these are old antique cabinets. They tried to get a chair that would approximate something that Lucy Hobbs might have used.
We'd certainly ask how they could keep it clean. The sign says it's from the 1870s.
And this is where she would have kept her tools. This is an old-fashioned setup. The portable chair is what they used in World War I in the Army. It has no bearing. It's like a World War I. They used to have it in a tent.
That looks like something out of an early sci-fi.
Well, that's right. That's right. That's an old X-ray. And the unit behind it, this is a dental unit, that in the corner, that I called on that dentist myself. So he was using it up until around 1965. He was in Shenandoah. You know where Shenandoah is?
Yes, it's in Schuylkill County.
Now you see all those instruments that come out of there? That's a dental unit, not a dental cabinet. This is a dental cabinet. And so the difference between that cabinet and this cabinet is if you had this cabinet, you needed this unit. Because all those dials and stuff, they had cauteries, they had different things on there. Now, this is an old dental unit before they had high speed. This is another thing we bought. Most of these things I collected from dentists myself because I've been doing this for a long time. Now, this chair is the first one I ever saw with legs. I never saw one with legs before.
And it's got flowers on those legs, an aesthetic touch.
Oh, yeah. And that was a small compressor to blow air in your mouth. But that was before we had high-speed drills. Now, these are just units from the 60s and 70s. And this was equipment that was hot at the time, but is out of business now. And these two pieces are very interesting to dentists. Really not to you so much. This was my uncle. My father's youngest brother was a dentist in Levittown, Pennsylvania. And I sold him this. Actually, I probably gave it to him about 62 or 63. And it was in good shape. And when he retired, he gave it to me.
And Larry, also, isn't that a color scheme from the city?
Right, that's right. Coral. That was a popular color.
It looks like it could be at home in someone's kitchen.
And this is a different kind of chair and a different kind of cabinet and a different model X-ray, not quite as old. And this is what they used to sterilize with. This is a boiling water sterilizer. Now, boiling water sterilizers, you can't kill everything with that. Now they have autoclaves. I think we should have an autoclave around here on the floor someplace. Oh, there's one. There was one of the first autoclaves. See that thing in the corner? That's a high pressure autoclave, you see?
It looks like a pressure cooker we might use to steam vegetables or something like that.
Exactly right. It's exactly right. This is just a personal to me, this unit here, this blue one. No, the blue, well, these are old cabinets. I like the old cabinets, and I collected them. I lost a number of them in the flood of 72. I lost a lot of them.
The sign describes that unit as Biscayne blue, sort of a light blue.
That's what dentists used to carry back and forth when they went to class. That is, it's like a toolbox. They used to call them tooth carpenters. That's what the medical students called them.
Oh, a toolbox. I know I saw in one of these cabinets something that looks like a pair of pliers, and I didn't want to ask you whether that's what they used to use to yank teeth out in earlier times.
Now I like this because this was one of the first pieces of equipment I ever sold. I sold it to a dentist in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania in 1964. Now, the reason I mention that is he retired in 2003 or 2004, and he called me up and he said, you know, I'm still using that unit. It was like 45 years old. He said, do you want it? It still works. I said, of course. And I picked it up from him and put it here on display. And the sad thing is that dentists use their equipment too long. They would never keep a car that long, which is annoying. There was better stuff that came out, but they were not interested. These cabinets are beautiful, in my opinion. And these are small things. I'll just show you this because these are artificial teeth. And this is interesting. These are old artificial teeth. This is the reason my father, who started selling instruments door to door and had a sixth grade education, he was the oldest of seven, and he had to go to work. He had to go to work to earn money, and he finally got a job at about 19 or 20. When he was about 19 or 20, selling dental instruments, he used to carry a big bag that weighed over 100 pounds. And he came all the way up by bus and by train and went to all these dental offices and sold them instruments on the spot for cash. That's what he did. And then, after doing that for 4 or 5 years, he got the company who made these teeth called him up and said, listen, maybe you want to settle down and open a dental supply company. If you do, we have a place for you in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and we will give you the line to sell. Now, why did they want to be in Wilkes-Barre? This was when the mines were in full steam. This was in around 1930, when the mines were going good. All the Eastern European workers who couldn't speak English, they got one toothache, they pulled out all their teeth. This was the biggest denture set in almost the United States. And these people didn't have outlet to them. And so there's another brand of these teeth. So I point out to you that this is the reason my father, he lived in Philadelphia and he traveled up here. And so he wanted to get married and settle down. And he brought my mother up here and said, you want to live in this area? And he did, and he started with teeth and that kind of stuff.
What was your father's name?
Benjamin. Benko was short for Ben Cohen. So that's history about this. We'll take a little walk over to the showroom just because you should see what I think is the thing that's most interesting to people. People don't realize we probably have more tourists come to this area that have never been here before than almost anybody. We have dentists come from all over. Now, since we opened Dallas, which
Texas.
Is a much easier flight, it's hard to get here. This is not a big traffic area. But they come here.
Oh, we can guess why. To visit this area of the building, it's like Tomorrowland.
These are all kinds of fancy. This is European equipment. Very fancy, high-end stuff.
And yet the fundamental principles are the same. You showed us Lucy's tray table. Well, here's one that serves the same purpose. It's slicker, but it's got its roots in what you showed us in the museum.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is how the dental assistant sits. The whole thing works as a system. All this stuff is all different. As a matter of fact, if you notice the rooms, every room is decorated differently. And we decorate offices, we design offices, and that's a big thing.
Look at that.
Well, this is for children, for pediatric dentists. That's right, this is a whole different kind of setup.
Colorful animals, smiling faces, that looks like a magic toothbrush.
And a different kind of chair.
It's hard to believe, but there's a sculpture of a fox chasing a raccoon up literally through a hole in the ceiling. Oh, what a delight. And now we've circled around to a whole row of sterilizers that are based on the principle that you showed us in the museum.
Sterilization, of course, is very important. This is a new version of that. This is a new version of that autoclave. And this is one that finishes very quickly. This is like a dishwasher, but it's high-end dishwasher, so that you can clean your instruments and stuff before you autoclave them. And that, my dear, is more or less the whole story.
Lawrence Cohen, Chairman and Chief Customer Advocate of Benko Dental Supply in Pittston, taking us on a tour of the company's dental museum and state-of-the-art showroom so that listeners will have a sense of the distinctive facility that has welcomed WVIA while the Public Media Center has been undergoing renovations. We've been here for over a year, and we've been welcomed as family, and we're so very grateful. The employees couldn't be warmer or more hospitable. We've been part of the company's celebrations and accommodated in every way. And our engineers were able to build four small studios in offices Benko turned over to us, and we're broadcasting from one right now. We've begun packing boxes and moving equipment ready to return home shortly, but we wanted very much to give you a sense of our home away from home before we drive down the Benko driveway for the last time. So many of the cars in the parking lot have bumper stickers that read simply smile, and you find them also on the walls of the cubicles. So we're hearing, without being too sentimental, Smile by Charlie Chaplain, as we offer our deepest gratitude to Larry Coe and his family, the staff and Benko employees, for making us feel like family.